You might be seated at this time. We had Sister Audrey Johnston visit our class from England a while back, and we understood that over there they stand to sing and sit to pray, and we do the reverse over here. So anyhow, we'll sit down now because I have two announcements, and then we'll get into our program. First of all, we'd like to mention that if anyone will be leaving and need to vacate their rooms, there is a bell closet here where you can leave your luggage, and you can get the desk, get the key for that at the desk. So if you need to vacate your room, you can put your luggage in the bell closet until you're ready to put it in the car or whatever your transportation is. The other thing is that if you have not completed all your transportation arrangements for leaving concerning transportation to the airport or anything of that sort, you can get a hold of Brother Lloyd or Brother Emil to get some assistance on that. And now, for our opening discourse of the afternoon session, we have Brother Zabowski from LaSalle, Illinois. And to ask the blessing on this first service, we have Brother David Tiffany from the Dalles. Brother David.
Our dear loving Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy most holy and righteous name. We're so thankful, dear Father, for this blessed opportunity of meeting together with those of like precious faith. We're thankful for thy loving watch care over us through these past 3 days. We pray that thou would continue to guide us in our thoughts, guide us in our words and deeds, that they may always be to thy honor and praise and to thy glory. We pray thy blessing upon all thy dear consecrated children the world over. Bless them in accordance to their individual needs. Now we ask thy blessing upon our dear brother Charles Zabowski as he ministers unto us from thy vast storehouse of truth. Guide and direct his mind and heart. Be with us that we may receive the blessing intended and that he also may be blessed. Continue to lead us through this remainder of this convention in ways of truth and righteousness. And forgive anything we may say or do amiss. In Jesus' precious name, and through his merit, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother David. I'm sure that we're all confident that as we have been blessed by this convention and by all those that have been serving from this platform, that we will continue this afternoon to be likewise blessed. We're looking forward to hearing from Brother Zabowski. The subject that he will speak on is Our Joy in the Lord. Brother Zabowski.
Thank you. Brethren, I do want to say that it's good to be here. And I think everyone else has the same feeling and thought that it's really good to be here. And the first thing that I must do is to bring you the love of the LaSalle Ecclesia. We were commissioned to do at our last regular meeting. And then for Sister Marie and I know for our brother John and Helen Grigalunas that came down with us, it is a great joy to be here. And brethren, as the years go passing by, we come to the close of this year and the start of another, how wonderful it is to go back from the past year and take an inventory of ourselves, of the rich blessings that the Lord has showered upon us. We must really, brethren, count our blessings and thank the Heavenly Father for them, and then look forward to more blessings. And the closer we are knit together, the more of a blessings that we will receive from the Lord. We assemble one with the other and receive great blessings in our homes. We assemble here together and we receive an extra share of blessings. For it is written that we must assemble together. In Hebrews 10:25, as it is written, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Some don't like to do that. But exhorting one another as so much as the more as ye see the days approaching. Each year, dear brethren, that day comes a little closer. And each year, we get a little older, a little wiser. And the Heavenly Father, knowing that the Heavenly Father is truly on our side. No, brethren, when I first came in here, I said, this is a wonderful convention. And I looked around, and I look around at the faces now. You know what I can see? I can see joy written all over your faces. A joy in the Lord. It's something that's different from the world. I can see brotherly kindness in your eyes. Regardless of whether we know or seen our brethren or not, it was the first time that we met them. Immediately as we shake their hand, we can feel that relationship. Brethren, brethren in the Lord. What a joy that gives us. And then to realize, dear brethren, that not only I can see it from here, looking at you, brethren, but the Lord himself can read our hearts, and he can see the joy that we have. And don't you think, my brethren, that he is pleased that we have this wonderful joy within us? Our dear Lord could feel that as he walked upon this earth. He delighted, it is written, to do the will of the Father. It was a great delight under the terrible experiences that he had. It tells us that he delighted to do, he said, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is written in my heart. So, we also, dear brethren, absolutely delight to do the Lord's will, and he leads us along this narrow way. We can see that during the Lord's first advent here on the earth, he went about feeding the poor, the sick, the neglected, those of the world that were the lowest of the world. He done great things for them. He healed them. He helped them. Helped all of the people. He even forgot to feed himself or to do something for himself. He was interested in doing the Father's will because that was the Father's will. He had no comfort for himself at all. He had, the scriptures tell us, and was brought out from the stage before, that he had no place to even lay his head. And when we think of all of these things that our dear Lord went through so that we here today can really get together too and reading about these wonderful things that our Lord has done, and he's done them for us, dear brethren, we too should desire most of all that the will of our Father must be done. And as in Matthew 8 and 20, the foxes have holes, the birds have nests, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Sometimes when we have to go back 2,000 years, we don't realize what that really means, because here we are, happy, joyful in the Lord, plenty of food, and a nice place to lay our head. We're happy, aren't we? But our dear Lord had no place to lay his head. He was weary, heartbroken, pain-ridden, heart-sick, really, brethren. Still, multitudes followed him wherever he went. What did they follow him for? To get help. Followed our dear Lord to get comfort, to get relief, so that their burdens would be lifted. And what do you think it done to our Lord, brethren? It took vitality and strength out of him. Yet, dear brethren, he ministered on to the people. It was a joy for him to do this. And don't you see, when the Father read his heart, that it was joy to see that his Son, his beloved Son, was doing his will. We see that the disciples also at that time were filled with joy. Do you wonder how could anybody in that day at that time be filled with joy? They were filled with joy because the Father was with them. He was helping them along. It says in Acts 13:52, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. That's what got them along. They had a certain amount of fear, but they had joy within themselves that they could do the Father's will and go along with their Master. And not only that, brethren, but when we think that these heavenly creatures, some of them that are around the throne, the angels, the archangels, they have joy just watching us to see our joy in doing the things that the Father expects of us. In Acts, can you imagine that if they have joy in one person, it says here, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over the one sinner that repenteth. If they have joy over one sinner that repenteth, can you imagine the joy he has when a group of his people gather together and praise his holy and wonderful name? Don't you think he's delighted with that? Don't you think that he's happy with that? It gives him a lot of delight and pleasure to see his children growing in this wonderful truth. No one, my dear brethren, has the experience of joy. No one in this entire world as we have in the Lord. Oh, I know that some of our relatives go into the churches and hear Mass or hear a preacher speak and once a week, and they say that's their joy. And we say, what do you go to church for? Well, that's our duty. I've heard Mass or I've done so and so. I don't really believe there is that joy. And here we are, knowing our dear Heavenly Father, we have that joy in our hearts. And I do believe that the Lord loves us. Well, he certainly indicates that in the Scriptures. We know that we have that joy that if we walk uprightly, you know, I think that's why they tell the soldiers, throw back your shoulders and march straight. If we walk uprightly, and we know what this word uprightly means, because we understand the language of the Scriptures, of the Bible. I always thought that the Southern people I couldn't understand a language that they used. But I was surprised as we came, we were coming to the convention, we stopped in a restaurant, and there was a young lady that waited on us, and she was a nice young lady. And she gave us good service. We thanked her for it. And we told her that she was a nice waitress. But she stood there like if she didn't know much of what we were saying. And I said, you know what? You people speak funny. I learned a lesson. I always thought that they spoke funny. But she said that I spoke funny, or we spoke funny. So you see, there is a certain amount of joy. For Psalms 84:11, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord God will give you grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them who walk uprightly. This is the reason why we know that our Lord is with us, and he rejoices in us too, because we're progressing along in this narrow way. It is said that he is a sun. Do you know how bright? Brother Hersher was telling me that in the summertime this sun gets so hot that it's anything you touch is hot. It illuminates everything. So our Heavenly Father is a light to us. It lightens, illuminates our minds to the knowledge of an understanding of the truth. It enlightens us. We of ourselves could do nothing, dear friends. This is what helps us along the way. And acquaints us with our Heavenly Father. And it says here, he's a shield also to us, a protection. Where else could we get any protection from the world? None at all. Only from that wonderful shield, that he's our shield and he protects us from all danger. And then again in Psalms 91 and 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Lord the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Did you realize what it really means to be under the shadow of the Almighty? This one that gives us this light, this all-powerful one, the great power he has, the greatest in the entire universe. We are walking in his shadow. This means that we're pretty close to him. Nothing will befall us because he knows what we need. He will help us along. He is our sun. He is our shield to protect us. And we are walking in his shadow or under his wing. He is close to us so that he can help us. Help us in our trials. The things that we go to, everything, every day is not pleasant to a Christian. We all have our trials, our troubles, and so forth. And he is close also to our rejoicing. He hears our cries. He is ever ready to help. He's close by to help to overcome them. And he's close by when we have tears. He comforts us. All he says, my son, give me thine heart, and I'll do the rest. So what a wonderful God we have, dear friends. Let us take an example and a picture of our, an example of our Lord. And this is the one mostly that we must look forward to. It said in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy, again here's joy, that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Yeah, dear brethren, it wasn't easy for our Lord Jesus to experience these hardships. He suffered and finally died on that cruel cross. He longed for that sweet fellowship that he had as the Logos with his Heavenly Father. This fellowship that he could not get upon the earth with any of the human because he was perfect. This was a sinful race. He was holy. He was harmless, undefiled, and truly separate from sinners. What a wonderful thought is that he was, it was mentioned before on the platform too, he was the apple of the Father's eye. That's a lot of love when they say that this boy is the apple of his father's eye. That means that that boy is always protected and watched and taken care of by the father. And it says that he was a daily delight to the father. You know, sometimes I wonder what would have been the difference. Satan and or Lucifer and the Logos. They were both morning stars. Well, it just seems like they should have been of the same nature, willing to serve the Heavenly Father, but one of them did not. But I can see that this one Logos, he was the only begotten of the Father. And I really do believe that there was a kind of a closeness. He was more or less a nearer, closer to the Logos than he would be to the others. It was just the same when we think of Jesus at his Last Supper. You know, there was John sitting at the table with Jesus and the other apostles. And of course, we know that he was the youngest one, and he laid his head on the on Jesus. And you know, it is written that he was the one that Jesus loved. He loved him. And I can see why he was a little closer. We too, when we get a young brother that comes in, we're willing to do our all for him. Everything that we can. We love him. And especially if he would lean a little towards us and maybe lay his head on our shoulder, what would you do? I think we'd put our arms around him and say, "Brother, we love you." Of course, we do that with our own brethren. I noticed when we walked in here, every brother, every sister were going about kissing one another, loving one another. This is truly godly love. This is truly love for the brethren. And it truly in our hearts, dear brethren. Yet with this one being so close to his Heavenly Father, the Father's will was for him to pay that ransom price, to go through all of this that our dear Lord went through. He suffered and died, dear brethren, suffered, never like we'll ever suffer, to give us an opportunity to life, to a much better life than we've had, and a second chance to the whole world of mankind to have everlasting life. We too, my brethren, have consecrated our lives, our hearts, our all to do the Father's will. And we've made up our minds that whatever test is put upon us, we must do with joy, as did our Lord and Master. James in 1:2 says, "Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." Count it all joy. You couldn't tell that to the world. They think we're a little out of our minds. How can anybody go to a convention and sit and listen from 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock in the morning till 9 o'clock at night, and then go right back the next day and probably next day and probably next day? Why, all we go to is to get it over with. Because I'm not worried about my salvation, they say. That minister, that priest is the one that's responsible. I don't have to do anything. I pay him and he does it. But that's not our thought, dear brethren. Because the loving Apostle John writes in 1 John 1:4, "That which we have seen and heard, and we declare unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us." And we do have fellowship with them, dear friends. Every time we read a scripture on this platform, we're having fellowship with those dear ones that lived and walked on this earth 2,000 years ago. But then he goes on, "That ye may also have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his dear Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joys may be full." That is the reason we're met together today, that our joy may be full. because they've laid the way for us. They've given us these beautiful words where we can read. And we do appreciate them, dear brethren. Truly, as we fellowship with one another, with those of life, like precious faith, can't we truly feel a fellowship with the Father and His dear Son? We can't have fellowship with the Father and His dear Son as we have with one with the other, because we can see one another, we can touch one another, we can laugh, we can cry together. But by following in the footsteps of the Master and doing the Father's will, meeting together as we do, happy as we are, joyful as we are, we're having fellowship with our Redeemer and our precious and wonderful God. We see that now, and we much more than any time in the world, that we can see how the prince of this world has blinded the eyes of mankind. But in the millennial age, there won't be Satan. They will be enlightened also. They will be enlightened to the truth, not the lies. And they too will have a joy in the Lord, a joy in knowing truly Jehovah. They don't know our God as we know Him today, as we know Him. They are blinded to that. And don't you think, dear brethren, that at the end of the millennium, that their joy will also be full, as our joy is full? Our God is almighty. He's generous, and He's always giving to those that love Him. And I mean, brethren, always giving to them. Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Who else can be richer than our God? No one. Everything belongs to us. He supplies us with the Holy Spirit. He gives us a better understanding of His plans and His purposes. The Bible becomes harmonious, which no other people but truly the people of God can make the Bible harmonious, can see the Bible that it's harmonious. The world cannot see that at all. And clear. And very, very precious to us. We too, my brethren, we've given our all. And what is meant by all is just exactly what the word indicates. We've given our all. We've given our hearts. We've given our minds. We've given our hands. We've given our feet, ears, eyes, everything. We've given up everything. What could we do if we had just gave all of this to somebody else? We wouldn't have anything ourselves, would we? But He gives it right back to us and says, "Now this is mine. You use it in my service." We forsook all of these worldly things and pleasures. And you know, there was a time when one of the apostles stood up before Jesus and he said, "Behold," he said to Jesus, "behold, we have forsaken all, and we follow Thee. What shall we have, therefore?" He's kind of worried about it. And this, imagine Jesus saying to him, "Verily I say unto you, Peter, that ye that have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of His glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Judging. Isn't it a great joy to just imagine what it'll be like to turn all of these people that lie in darkness, that do not know our Heavenly Father, and bring them up on that highway of holiness road, acquaint them with the Heavenly Father. Will it not be a great joy for us at that time, and a joy for those that walk up this highway, and we knowing that we helped them walk up that highway, and we helped them to acquaint them with the Heavenly Father. Because we have forsaken all to follow Jesus, we too will be able to share in that wonderful glory, honor, and immortality that he promised to his faithful followers of his day. We'll be with him. And the scriptures say we'll see him as he is. The apostles saw him in flesh. But there's a time coming when they, and they see them perhaps now, those that have been raised from the dead. But we too will see him as he is. We do not know just when our time will come, but we, when we finish this course, we pray that we will see him as he is, in his glory, in his honor, in his immortality. Many, many of us have spent our dollars, our time, our talents, on all of these worldly things some time ago, when we too were in darkness. We thought that these worldly pleasures were really something, not realizing the fact that they were really nothing. But when the Lord shows us the way, those things became nothing to her. All of our aims, our ambitions, our pleasures are now focused in the direction of righteousness, in the direction of the Lord, to follow him. You know, it's the same as Saul. His intentions were good. He loved the Lord, yet he wasn't doing the right thing. But we see when he became Paul, he went the reverse. And so we too, brethren, we have turned our backs to these worldly things. They're not of any interest to us at all. And we look upon the things that the apostle recommends, let me say, in Philippians 4:8. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. Do we find any of that in the world? Everyone is after something for himself. Whatsoever things are lovely. There is nothing lovely, dear brethren, in this order. I won't say in the world, because I do love the things that the Lord has created. I love the flowers. I love these mountains. As we come by and we see them from a distance, they look so far away, and yet we can see them. And as we get closer to them, we can appreciate their beauty. Every mountain, it seems to me, is the same as a snowflake, which they say there's no two alike. And as you look at these mountains, you give praise to the Heavenly Father. I'm talking about that, the loveliness of this order, of this world. There's no loveliness in it at all. There's no honesty in it. There is nothing that's true or good, truly, in this order of things. And then whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And these are the things that the true Christian is looking forward to. And then another thing that we've to do, and we're told in the scriptures to do it, is to Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Be happy about the joy that's in your heart. Show others what this really means to you. It says, make a joyful noise unto your gods, all ye lands. Well, we know that all the lands are not making a joyful noise unto the Lord. Not at all. But we, dear friends, are just a step ahead of them. We can make this joyful noise and praise our Heavenly Father now and later too. But they cannot make that joyful noise. We're making that joyful noise by our preaching to others of the kingdom. We're making a joyful noise spreading the gospel of this kingdom. We're making a joyful noise when we praise the Heavenly Father. He's our God. He's our Creator. He's our Father. We make a joyful noise when we pray to Him. We make a joyful noise on that piano and we sing aloud. That's a joyful noise. It makes us feel good, and I know that it makes the Heavenly Father feel good. The psalmist suggests also to make a joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation. Make a noise. And we know what the rock of our salvation is. It's our dear Lord. We make a noise unto our Heavenly Father. We make a joyful noise unto our Lord. In Chronicles 15 and 16, David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be singers with instruments and with music, psalteries and harps and cymbals, sounding by lifting up the voice with joy, it says. You know, sometimes I just can't visualize how they made a harmonious, a beautiful song, whatever you'd want to call it, on such instruments as rapping a cymbal and playing on a harp that is not like our harps are, or playing a little flute perhaps or something like that. And here we are, brethren. You know, it just puts shivers up and down your spine and, as they say, goosey pimples all over. When we go to the conventions and when we have these choirs that have just practiced, brethren, for one day or 2 days, and when they come out and sing to us, the organ is playing, the piano is playing, and these beautiful voices coming out, doesn't that do something to you? We're making a joyful noise unto our Heavenly Father. And He truly rewards us for it. He sends down the Holy Spirit. And another thing He says, these are my children. These are my children. These are the ones that I love. As He said, this is my beloved Son, to Jesus, in whom I am well pleased. So we too, as we make this joyful noise, as we go out preaching the gospel, as we go out in prayer to the Heavenly Father and pray that Thy kingdom come upon this earth, we're making a joyful noise. We are being strengthened. We are made happy by this joyful noise, and our Heavenly Father is also. If David and the Israelites could make a joyful noise with their type of instruments and to praise the Lord by lifting up their voices, using our modern ones, how much more can we praise our Heavenly Father? Yet He accepted them, their praise, as well as He accepts ours. And we are His children. They were His friends. Abraham was called by God a friend. Nehemiah in the 8th chapter and 10th says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. When we have the joy of our Lord, truly we do feel strong. Strong in this truth. Can stand up to anything. Just as David stood up to Goliath. Oh, he was much larger. He was a giant. Little David was a mere little boy, and yet he slew Goliath. Not because he was so smart or strong, but because he had the Lord on his side, and he had the joy of the Lord in his heart. So, dear brethren, let us keep that joy written all over our faces. Let us keep that brotherly love in our eyes and in our hearts, that when we come to the last year of our life, that we can enter the next year into the glory of the Lord, when he will say, or we'll hear his voice say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come on in this year. This is a new year for you, into the joys of thy Lord." Won't that be a wonderful thing? Doesn't that make our hearts full of joy right now? Thinking, are we afraid that perhaps tomorrow we will die or something to that effect? It will just open up a new year. We've been walking in an old year. It will open up a new year for us to be with our Lord and Heavenly Father in everlasting joy. And may the Lord bless you all and keep you in the joy of the Lord. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Zabowski, for those for that lesson on our joy in the Lord. Just reminded me of an experience some time back when I was doing quite a bit of studying, and I was uncovering a few of these gems of truth that were told about, and was getting so much enthusiasm that I'd call my wife and I'd say, "Honey, come listen, look at this. And we were going to class one evening when this was going on, and I said, "You know, if I try to tell my coworkers that I get all my joy and pleasure and excitement from studying the Bible, they'd send the men in the little white coats to get me." But I couldn't help but think of that and what Brother Joe said when he spoke of his lesson on the 45th Psalm, and the fact that after 46 years in the truth, that this psalm came unto him with a new meaning. I think there was a between-the-lines example of just what we're talking about, of how this joy comes to us through the light of the truth, and what a great privilege it is to have it. So thank you for that lesson.
Holy and loving Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence at this time to thank thee that thou hast given us this wonderful truth, that our hearts are filled with joy. Joy, dear Father, that we may serve thee. And our prayer is that thy will be done, Heavenly Father. And now, dear Lord, we pray that thou would continue to bless us. Bless the other talks that are to follow. Bless all of us. May our hearts be open to them. And dear God, always keep us in this narrow way, ever close to thy dear and beloved Son, for we ask it in his name. Amen.